From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. And the death toll continues to climb in Tianjin, China, after last week's factory explosions. More than 100 are reported dead, thousands displaced.
And Robin, something very unusual has happened. Chinese people have taken to the streets in protest, demanding to know what happened to their loved ones, complaining of water contamination risks, and demanding compensation for damage to their homes. Joining us now is Joseph Fewsmith, a professor at Boston University's Pardee School of Global Studies and an expert in Chinese politics. Professor, welcome.
Glad to be here.
Well, did it surprise you that people in China went out into the streets to protest? And what do you think the government is going to do about that?
Well, the events in Tianjin are so extraordinary. Obviously, so many toxic chemicals appear to have been released. And the government has been so slow about releasing information that even the official press has been criticizing the response. And I think that that official criticism of the local government sort of gives these people a certain leeway to go out and protest.
So, why are we seeing that criticism from the press, though? That's unusual.
It is extremely unusual. I just have to think that this is a local government that is right now perhaps confused, and certainly there must be an awful lot of finger-pointing, and there's just been a dearth of information about what exactly happened.
This comes at a time when there are huge questions about the Chinese economy. They've been devaluing the currency. The stock market has been collapsing. How much trouble is China's government in right now?
Well, I don't think you should exaggerate those. You remember the stock market went up something like 100% and it came down 30%. So if you got in early, you're still up 70%. I think the problem there was that the government made statements about how the market is safe, and that seemed to encourage people to get into the market and bolster the market. And then all of a sudden, as happens with markets, it went down. And so the government's credibility is hurt a little bit on that. The currency devaluation, I think people are still trying to evaluate, but I'm increasingly convinced that this really is a market-oriented move. And China is very interested in getting these so-called special drawing rights. And the IMF suggested that their renminbi needed to be more market-based in order to do that. And that's a step towards the internationalization of the renminbi.
The Chinese president, Xi Jinping, will be in Washington for the first time next month. And I wonder just about U.S.-China relations right now. How would you describe them?
Yes, this is going to be an extremely interesting summit. This will be the first state visit of Xi Jinping. There are a number of issues that will be on the agenda, I'm sure. You know, you have human rights issues. There have been over 200 rights lawyers that have been taken in and interrogated.
But do you think that the U.S.-China relationship is in a good place right now?
No, it's full of tension right now. And the South China Sea is part of that. Cybersecurity issues are part of that. This is going to be a tough meeting between Obama and Xi Jinping.
We've heard a lot in the 2016 race right now, Donald Trump talking all about, China is outmaneuvering us on all this. I'm going to be tough on China. Does that kind of thing get through to the Chinese authorities? Do they hear that? Do they care what's going on in the campaign?
Well, yes, they do hear it and they do care. And there's a lot of this. We got to get tough. But nobody says how we should get tough and what the consequences of getting tough would be. I don't hear much discussion of smart policy.
Well, what do you mean by that? What would be a reasoned argument about getting tougher on China? Because there are many people, whether they're Donald Trump supporters or not, who look at what China's doing and say the U.S. should be getting tougher on China.
Well, for instance, on the South China Sea issue, you hear people that we've got to send naval ships within the 12-mile claimed territorial waters of some of these islands. If you want to confront China directly over sovereignty sorts of issues, you're probably going to bolster the military, the sense of nationalism in China. That doesn't help. It's much better to work on legal approaches. There are several examples of Southeast Asia nations taking disputes to the International Court of Justice. This is something that you could build world pressure to resolve disputes in a legal manner.
So, Joseph Fewsmith, take all of these stories, the explosion in Tianjin, the protesters out in the streets, the devaluation of the currency, the building of these islands. What does it tell you about what's going on in China right now?
It tells me that China is in a very nationalistic mode. The new president, Xi Jinping, is certainly trying to assert himself both domestically and internationally. And I see the international issues that you just outlined as indeed the complement to what he's doing domestically.
And if you look back over the history of China, the governments never last forever, as they do anywhere. But how long do you think this one's got?
That you're touching on something that is very, very controversial in China, because by constitution and precedent, he should be in office for 10 years and then retire. And everybody's watching the amount of power that he has accumulated and wondering, will he really step down? And so he may be there for a long time.
That's Joseph Fewsmith, a professor at Boston University's Pardee School of Global Studies, and he's the author of several books about China, including Elite Politics in Contemporary China. Joseph Fewsmith, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.